Hello, everybody, and welcome to Challenging Your Status Quo. This is the podcast series where we talk about succeeding in your business and the other well-beings that makes life's success more balanced and complete. We will be discussing your vocational journey and how to be able to help your vocational journey. But at the same time, we're going to be challenging you on four other well-beings in this podcast. And that is every time we're on, we're marrying vocational with one of these four well-beings. And that is our spiritual well-being, our relational well-being. In other words, your family, your friends, how healthy is that? The physical well-being, which is really how are you doing physically? Are you taking care of yourself? All really before we say vocational success, which is part of the reason why you're here today, is probably just kind of see what kind of vocational help you can get. But you can't help but be successful if you're taking care of the other well-beings. The last well-being that we like to blend into this whole thing is really about your philanthropical well-being. And what I mean by that's a big word for a well-being, but what do you do with the blessings that have been given to you? Now, I know that the industry's had a hard hit, but there's been a lot of blessings that we can count on. So it doesn't necessarily just mean vocational success. It could be on any of those well-beings. And what are you doing with those blessings, period? My name is J.A. Dava. I am the co-founder, one of the co-founders of Latreia Coaching and Consulting. I'm also a senior coach. And with that, my co-host in this is Paul Waldrop, who is sitting right next to me. Paul Waldrop is not only my co-host, he's my friend, he's my colleague, he's my co-founder along with me, and my brother. So, Paul Waldrop, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. I see you got the memo. We got the same shirts.
I did get the memo. So looks good though, Paul.
It does. Hey, you know, when you were opening up this show, you said, you know, it's been a hard year. But what I love about the perspective these podcasts bring, it's not just about a day, a week, a month, or a year. We're just talking about life. And when you're talking about the five well-beings, it doesn't come down to just a segment of time. We're looking at the whole scope of our human existence, right? The whole scope of the human experience. But what is it that we want to do? And guess what? We get to make that choice. And so by bringing in such special guests, and I'm super excited about today, but when we bring in guests, it helps to broaden that whole perspective, right? That it's not just about a thing or a moment in time. It's really about, you know, what is it that we want out of life? You know, and all five of these well-beings working in concert give us that incredible experience. And we get to choose. I mean, we get to choose what we want that to look like. Things happen outside of our control. And yes, there's awful things that do happen. But how we respond and what we do to navigate through and get to a different place, I mean, all of those, we've got a lot of power in how we decide this. And so I love the whole perspective that each of these shows brings out.
So Paul, tell me, so I know we're talking about the well-beings. We can't cover them all, right? In a 45-minute span. But what is it are going to be our main focus today? I know we got the vocational, but what are we marrying that with today?
Yeah, so I really think it's you know, today and our special guest just has this incredible personal magnetism about him, but there's a source for that, right? There is a genuineness, there's an openness, there's a transparency about it, but I think it comes from a spiritual source. And so when you're looking at bringing who you are and all of your uniqueness, but also your journey, your experiences, your faith, you know, how you see life, when you bring that into the workplace, it expresses itself in a very unique way. And sometimes we try to hide that. And we try to maybe say, well, I don't want to bring that into the public spectrum or the corporate spectrum. But I would say when you bring who you really are into the corporate arena, it just changes the dynamic for the better, right? And yeah, it changes things in such a positive way. You want me to go ahead and introduce our guest today?
No, you know what? I asked you, so you're speaking of the spiritual well-being then, right? So we get to marry that today. Is that what we're doing?
Well, yeah, because again, your faith and, well, our guests will explain that journey and how that impacts the everyday decision-making and how that impacts not just decisions, but the relationships. And David did a post this morning just really highlighting and praising his leadership team, okay, and how much of an impact that they're making. That's not just the doing side of leadership. That's the being side of leadership. And that's exactly what we're talking about today, who you are and how that impacts your leadership in the corporate world and the spiritual, how it drives that in such a powerful way. Man, I'm excited about this conversation.
Yeah, I saw that post, by the way, as well. I also commented on that. I'll tell you what, even Scotsman's Guide, right, this week came out with an article about how important it is for people that, and this gentleman doesn't talk like he's high up on his seat or anything like that, but he is, right? So, I mean, he's a director for this company, and yet he reaches down or up, however way you want to be able to look at that. But when you reach out and you praise other people like that, it can't help but just create an incredible culture. So, Paul, right. I'm excited to bring this guy on. So who is David? You said David. So
I did.
Tell me a little bit about who's joining us today.
So David Hopper is the chairman of Leader One, an incredible, impactful leader in the mortgage industry, an incredible organization. What I love and how he describes himself of Leader One Financials, not just really the chairman, but he empowers employees, open-minded, transparent, looks at the long game and empowers people to succeed in the long game, right? And a believer. That's the description that he says of himself. And I love that you're not ashamed to say, I'm a believer, and that's just where I'm at. But that is what impacts him. And I'll tell you, in our interactions with David, instantly you connect with him. Some folks are stuffy at that level, but David has a friendship, a welcome, but you can tell he's the real deal. Make no mistake about it. This guy is sharp. He's smart. He makes decisions. He has convictions that he lives by and runs his company by. And I'm telling you, it's super impressive. So we're going to have a great conversation.
Yeah. Well, let's bring him on. Right. And so welcome, David.
Hey, good morning, Paul and J.A. Wow. Thanks for the kind words. I'm blushing a little bit. So I would rather be the giver than the receiver of kind words. Isn't it funny how that is?
It is. David, man, Paul just spoke of the long game. And I know I got to get you off the phone quick enough here because you're about to go and hit a long game later on today, right?
That's right.
So I hope you hit it straight and long and I'll tell you what, I'm envious that you get to golf because I'm out here in Columbus, Ohio, where golf is not really something we can rightfully do right now. So, David, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, you guys have the golf shirts on. I do too, but mine is I am going to golf later. It's going to be 69 degrees in February 2nd in Kansas City. And as a golf degenerate, you just can't pass up a day like that. Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed getting to know you guys a little bit. We're working a little bit together and it's been great. So a little bit about me. I'm here in Kansas City, where Leader One is based, born and raised here, married my high school sweetheart, 31 years. My dear wife, Angie, we have three daughters, two of them married. My last one is 21 and has one more year of college. And I have three grandkids. And it's just, right now it's almost like I'm hitting that sweet spot of life. And, I pinch myself every time, my grandchild walks in the house and she comes to the door and waves and, you know, it's the little things like that, that, really make it all worthwhile. So, on a personal level, just feeling good. Business level wise, Leader One, like I said, based here in Kansas City, been around since 1992, an independent mortgage bank. And, we're swinging and ducking like everybody else out there. And we feel good about where we are. And, we're looking forward to get to the other side. So,
David, did you, I know Leaders One, when I think about them, is this a company you started? I mean, is this?
I did not. Yeah, I'm not that smart.
Okay.
I'm not that smart. So Leader One was started by A.W. Pickle in 1992 here in Kansas City. And actually, I just had lunch with A.W. A week ago. And, you know, fast forward, you know, he started out as a mortgage broker and then became a banker, got his Fannie ticket. And then obviously we all know what happened, 06, 07, 08. He was never into subprime, always, but again, that was a tough market in the mortgage industry. And he had a really good idea. And he sold 75% of the company to guys like myself. And, you know, nobody owns more than 12% of Leader One, which I think is key, because we focus on what's best for the company. And then just through all of that, through the evolution of, you know, as you get, you know, different leaders and different ideas, you know, we ended up buying AW out. Gosh, I think it was maybe 10 years ago in an amicable buyout. And, you know, we've taken the company from, you know, a small little mortgage bank to what I would consider a mid-size IMB. And it's been a heck of a ride. It's been through the valley of fire and death. I mean, I you know, there's been times I've been sucking on my thumb under my desk, right? You know, when COVID hit, you know, and all those margin calls came in, and you really test your mettle, right? You want to talk about faith and all that, boy, you pour into it really big time. So yeah, it's been a fun ride. I'm ready for some more fun though, right? The last couple of years have been, you know, some downs, and so we're looking forward to 2024.
Well, you know what? First of all, I think 2024 is very pivotal, right? I think it is going to pivot in the right direction, by the way. So for all of those that made it through 2023, they're in for what I think is going to be a beautiful norm, right? Which is more heading uphill than, I mean, a good hill going up. Yeah. Rather downslide of business. And so but I want to ask you one more thing about your company, because I love the fact that there's been a journey throughout that with AW Pickle and then your group, and I love the concept of just being 12%. And right. But just out of curiosity, what if I may, this is a great commercial time, but it really is more just being able to blend the vocation with spiritual, which I'm about to walk into. But tell me about your company and what do you think differentiates your company from others, without disparaging others, of course, but what do you think the key differentiator is for your company?
Yeah, wow. I'll try not to go on forever. I mean, obviously I love this company, right? I've been here 15 years, and, you know, I think it touches on what I talked about earlier, is we really all came together with AW and those thoughts were to create a company that's really about the employees and the customers. And I know that that's really simple and, you know, probably used before, but most mortgage banks are owned by a private equity firm or a parent bank, or it's one or two guys. And, you know, when you try to run a company that, yes, you need to make money, right? Cause you have counterparties and you have all of that, but your main focus isn't to drive X millions or tens or 20s of millions back to somebody else. It's to create an environment that people want to be a part of something. And I always say that sum is greater than the parts. That's our philosophy. And, you know, I think it's served us well, you know, through this. Collaboration is huge in our environment. And as I posted that today on LinkedIn, because our executive team, you know, they think of this, right? You're an executive and you have collaboration with sales guys like me. Well, you know, sales guys, right? Like we want to do everything under the sun. We don't like the word no. And we really believe in embracing the possibility, but most, you know, most operational, or they really probably don't want to hear what someone else has to say. And that's, we're convicted about this. It's on our who is Leader One, embrace the possibility, open-mindedness. And so I think that's probably the biggest difference. Doesn't mean we always get along. No, I mean, you don't think we haven't had arguments in the last 2 years? Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, but when you have that conviction and you know you're trying to get to the right answer, not my answer, you know, it's what is the right answer? Who cares where the idea came from? If it's a good idea, let's talk about it. And so that's probably the proudest of Leader One, is that right there, is that we have this melting pot of like-minded individuals who believe in that.
Yeah.
So So, David, what I love about what you said, and for a lot of my career, I've been in organizations that only focus on the results, the outcomes, and it has great job or you better get to it, right? And that just leaves the front end of the process in confusion, in bewilderment, in trial and error, to be quite honest with you. But having a focus on the front end and saying, we need to fix this and we need to get to a multiple of great ideas, that's going to drive the right behavior. And we're going to trust that to give us the right outcome. I love what you said, because if you do the right things, you're going to get the right outcomes. Right? That's what you're saying. And I love that focus. I just see that sometimes just gets lost in today, because it's all about, we've got to get to this outcome, get there any way you can. And sometimes that just doesn't always serve us very well.
The only thing I would say to that too, is I think where most people, what I've learned, right, you know, through these years, is we make mistakes. We're going to make the wrong decision. You can't run a company or in life and think you're going to bat 100. And I think a lot of people try to do that and know that, hey, it's okay to make a mistake. Yeah, that idea didn't work. Let's just pivot away from it. Let's not dwell on it. Let's move on. It's past, and let's fix what we have. And I say all the time, right? Like, I can only focus on today. We can talk about how it got here and the decision we made and how we got to it. And we can quarterback that later, but we just have to focus on getting it fixed now. And we'll worry about the past later.
Yeah, it's so empowering, right, Paul? I mean, just that whole mentality, Dave and Paul, is just, it's so empowering for a whole organization. So thanks for that, because, I mean, you know what? That is a differentiator. And I already quoted Scotsman's Guide earlier, but I'm going to quote him again, because you just said some of the key words that they're saying is extremely important for those of you that are leaders in the field. David just said it. Collaboration's unbelievably important right now. Approachability, it's huge right now. And then the fact that people have ownership and feel that they're heard is really key in today's world as well, right? Yeah. That covers and spans all generations of, like, you know, people say, well, the millennials get treated differently. The Gen X's, the Gen Z's, and you know, the baby boomers are still here and all of that kind of stuff. But what you just said, collaboration, approachability, and accountability, those, the test of time, it just continues to go on. And so so thanks for sharing at least that vocational tip. That's massive. But we try to marry it and what we were walking into. I love, first of all, how we met, David, was that I was so encouraged by something that you publicly went out there for somebody in sales. A lot of people worry about. And one of the hardest topics for people to talk about is taking their own person into their company, or at any given time into their vocation and professionals. And so one of the things, how you and I met, is you posted something that I resonated with, that was a quote from Joyce Meyer. And I just remember being touched on that a while ago, and then I reached out to you and we connected that way. And I thought, and if you're willing to share that with people, how important spirituality, people's spiritual well-being, right? How does that even begin to play with professionalism and vocational success? Because a lot of people think it doesn't belong together, believe it or not. That's a sad thing. So, right. So I want to ask you this question. Could you tell us just a little bit about your spiritual journey, your personal spiritual journey, and how it's influenced your approach to your business and maybe your leadership style?
Yeah, you bet. And I agree, right? I mean, I think people are afraid of that, especially in today's world, and, you know, everything's written down or it's on social media. But, you know, my spiritual journey personally, I think, is pretty normal. Midwestern, grew up, have great parents. They were Christian based. You know, we went to Sunday school, you know, every Sunday. And, you know, I think just normal, you know, I don't think, you know, starting out, you know, I'm a believer. Like I said, I've always have been. I've been a person that, you know, that talks to the Lord. But probably just normally, I wasn't somebody that probably worked that into the business. You know, starting out as you're trying to do your deal and grow and raise a family, and you know, we're a Christian-based family, but so throughout the years, it's always been, I would say, in the background, but I can tell you, the older I've gotten, watching my three daughters grow and grandkids, and watching my father-in-law pass away from Parkinson's, my dad has Parkinson's, and then just life in general, right? Just all of the stuff that happens, you think you're invincible, and then you watch great men, you know, kind of just wither away. It really got me. What else? Okay, I know that I'm Christian based and I'm a believer, but I really started diving in personally, whether it was, you know, reading Joyce Meyer, reading verses, and just really doing some individual searching for myself. You know, I'll share a story, and it was a pivotal moment for me, and it was just 3 years ago, really. You know, February 2020, my father-in-law, I might choke up here, but yeah, he was going to pass away. And we were going to a trip to Aruba with Leader One, and my wife wasn't going to go. And she went and saw her dad. I apologize. And he was going to pass away, and she went to see him, and he was fine. Like, he wasn't fine, but she's like, I think he's good. I think he's good for a couple more weeks. And so she goes, I'm going to go on the trip. And so we went to Aruba, and the company was going, we had our girls with us, and we landed in Aruba, and he passed away. And so she had to fly back. And but the key to this is this, I'm trying hard here. She was going to leave for the airport, and we were eating breakfast in Aruba at the hotel, and it started raining. And, you know, typically you don't take your family out in the rain, right? But there was something that was calling us to the beach. I don't know. And so we walked in the rain, you know, our three girls and my wife, and we got to the beach, and there was the biggest rainbow you've ever seen in the sky. And so that right there was a pivotal moment. We have a picture of that rainbow. We took a picture, and we had one painted by a family friend. And so that right there, you know, that changed something in me. That triggered something deeper. And, you know, like I told you earlier, you know, and then you going through the industry and all that, I just don't think you care anymore. You are who you are. You do you. You know, my wife says that to me all the time. You do you. And I think, you know, again, the world and the place we're in right now, I think people are clamoring for that. Let's just yep. be real.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, wow. So you shocked me with that as well, by the way, because I didn't know that part of the story. You know, usually you don't ask questions unless you know the answer. I didn't know the answer to that one, but that's probably one of the greatest things you could have shared with us. Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, and I have a feeling that he was a believer as well, and it's probably in a much better place, right? So hopefully we're doing that justice. But, you know, David, thanks for sharing that. And it is, you know, you were there, Leaders One. I'm sure a lot of people saw that, saw what you were going through, saw what your wife was going through, your daughters. And whether or not they saw you out in that rain or not, doesn't really matter. They saw the rainbow. But here's what I want to really ask you as well. Just hearing that side of it, how do you blend, right? Because, I mean, you can't help. I mean, that's the real side of you, right? It isn't I'm the director, so I've got to look the part so that I can, you know, make sure that these people don't see my weaknesses, the whites in my eyes and all of that. But how do you blend your spiritual beliefs with your professional obligations and leadership style in your company, David? I know it's
No, sorry, not to cut you off, but I mean, I think it is done, you know, I hate to say it, but you do have to be mindful, right? You do have to be mindful, but I think it's really simple. It's that beautiful four-letter word, and it's love, right? Everywhere you look, you know, it's there. And so if you take that concept and when you're working with people or talking to people and you can, if you can give love, I think you can meld the two, and everyone doesn't have to have the same beliefs. But if we know that we're giving love to each other and we have a core value, and it's serve one another. It's just who we are. And when you try to run a company that, if I'm trying to serve you, Paul, in a conversation and everything we do, and you're trying to serve me back, man, there's not a lot of things that can go wrong there if that's our mindset. And listen, we're not perfect, right? Like, no way do we do it every day and all that. I'm not trying to say that, but we're very mindful of that. We remind each other, wait a minute, you know, hey, we're off base a little bit here. Let's talk about it. So I think that, you know, when you talk about communication and open-mindedness, it's that along with really caring about the people, not about the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. If we work hard, they are what they are. The water's going to go where it's going to go. But you don't get back the relationships. That's what you don't get back. And I think that's really where our focus is. It's where my focus is.
So David, what I love about that Just Keep Keys is a lot of times I can't have a grudge against you if I'm trying to serve you, if I'm trying to love you. If I've got something that is between us and I'm trying to serve you and love you, I got to deal with that, get it out of the way. And what happens is, think of the dam that's holding back the creativity, the energy, the connection, the solutioning that can come forward, right? When you remove that obstacle, that thing between us, now all of a sudden, all of that pent up energy and creativity that's going to get the organization to the better place, all of a sudden it's out of the way and all that energy comes forth. Now you've got both of those energies coming together to be able to solve problems and look at things in a creative way, and now coming up with new ideas and better ways to approach it. Or sometimes it's staying positive when there's just a lot of junk going on around you, and staying positive and staying engaged and staying in the game is just as important, right? And so that value alone, bringing that spiritual component in, and now it applies to business. Yeah, you bet it does, because it removes everything that's gonna that's standing in the way of you getting to a better place. Man, that is so powerful. I just hope the folks hear that, Jay. That was just incredible.
Yeah. Once again, you're just blowing me away, David. So you know, and again, you know what? I have this whole script. Ask you questions. It's already blown out of the water, just to let you know. So it doesn't matter, because this conversation is exactly what the spiritual blend of vocation should be all about. Because you know what, David, we've had the pleasure of working with some of your leaders and some of your sales folks as well. And I'll tell you, it is affecting your company, right? But it's not overpowering. It's not like they're out there telling me about what you're sharing right now, but it is the approach of one consistent thing that we're seeing throughout your company, is that there seems to be that blend of, I care about the company, I love the company. You said it earlier. And so that is impacting in such a big way that I'm just really, you're showing what we are feeling about your company. And that's one of the biggest reasons, man. And it's just so awesome to be interviewing you, because what I'm feeling right now, and you know, this whole radical principles yeah. of business, I really want to ask you about that. That's you that brought that up to us, right? So the radical principle yeah. in business, I got to go there, because I think that, you know what, when you bring in, when you're not, and by the way, I want it clear, because you said it earlier when I was telling you, hey, David, if you don't, you know, if you feel uncomfortable with this and that, let me know. And he goes, nope, I'm going to speak personally, right? As the leader of my company, I want it to be personal. And so, but then you brought three phrases to us: radical transparency, radical communication, and radical open-mindedness. I really didn't know what that meant until this interview that's now blown out of my questionnaire. It's gone. So I'm just going to go to the bottom line here as we, you know, are coming closer to the end of our time together. But talk to me about what radical principle in business is. What does that mean? Radical transparency, communication, open-mindedness.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I love talking to you guys because this is real, right? I think unscripted is the best way, and just talk from the heart. And I think it feels good. It feels good to have this conversation. So I appreciate that with you guys. So I'm a Ray Dalio fan. So when I became chairman a little over 8 years ago at Leader One, and you know, I was like, okay, I was a director, now I'm the chairman. And so I really started diving into a lot of different things. I read a lot of books. And the Ray Dalio's book really struck me. And it's talking about a meritocracy and everything that I think that we talked about at Leader One, it just kind of all came like, yeah, this is what we've been talking about. This is what we're trying to create. And so the radical part is really kind of what we talked about earlier is, so how do you keep doing it? You keep talking about it. It has to be top of mind. But, you know, radical transparency in the mortgage industry, I can tell you, is most people are not. They're not transparent. And through, we are. And I think there's a reason why, you know, that people have been here 10 and 15 years. Because when you keep it real and you share them with, hey, here's the financials, here's this, here's X, Y, and Z, you know, we have to be able to do this. People are like, okay, I get it. You know, here's, so that makes life so easy at Leader One with whether it's salespeople, loan officers, processors, you can put your head, there's nothing left on, here's the financials. And most companies won't do that. So that transparency part is super easy on a business side. Transparency on the human side, it's not as easy. It's really not, because you have to build trust. You can say transparency all you want, but if you don't trust each other, you're not going to get it. So we've done a lot of work, and we still do a lot of work. And then obviously it all kind of melds together, right? The open-mindedness, you cannot have a collaborative company. You can't have people, you can't have 15, 20 ideas and not be open-minded. It doesn't work. So it's going to fail immediately. And I think the proof's in the pudding a little bit. You know, 15 years later, we're able to still say that, you know, we're open-minded and embracing possibility, and we live it and we breathe it. And then the communication part, I think, is the hardest, honestly. It's the hardest. Is do you over-communicate? Okay, then if you over-communicate, people are like, oh, just stop. And if you don't communicate enough, they're like, hey, there wasn't enough communication. So from an executive level all the way down, it's just, you know, there's been times where I think there wasn't enough communication, you know, and then there's too much. So the radical part of it is we're not going to let it go. We're not going to give up on it. We're convicted. This is who we are. And it hasn't changed in a long time. 10 years when we sat down with Jim Brown, who's a board governance coach of ours, and we got in a room and we didn't leave for 2 days, and we challenged our convictions and we came out with who is Leader One, and it hasn't changed since, and it guides us on every decision we make. So that's the radical part of it is we're not giving it up.
Paul, who would have thunk, right? Radical. I love that. I hope I can steal that from you and use that in some of our materials, because I honestly believe, I love how you guys just did that. But let me ask you one other question on the whole idea of radical. So, you know, balancing, you know, these radical principles, which it's kind of funny, right? Because I don't think they're too radical by the time it's all said and done. But it's a hard practice, right? So radical principles with day-to-day business demands can actually be very challenging, right? So these things mixed in with day-to-day business, it is challenging. How do you manage this balance? And what advice would you give other lenders who might be listening to this, other leaders, actually, I wouldn't even say lenders, other leaders looking to adopt similar approach? What would be just your advice if they were to hear this and say, we need this for a company?
Yeah, I mean, I think through it all, right, is you know, when we say radical communication and radical transparency, I think what most people think is that you say everything that's on your mind. Guess what? You don't. Some things should never be said.
Right.
That's just out of respect as a human being, out of love and all of that. So that's the one thing I think people get confused of. It's not you sit down and you say everything you ever thought about this certain situation or that person. That's not it. But it's being honest, it's being truthful, respectful, professional, and more importantly, you know, relation, as you're well being relational, that personal. If everything we're doing is about business and a profit and the units, it we're going to be like everybody else, but it's about building those relationships. And I think more importantly, what we need in this industry right now is we need more of this than ever. Right. Now, this industry, you know, I always joke, one of my best buddies owns a car dealership, and I always say, man, you guys are the worst and we're right behind you as mortgage people, right? But honestly, I'm not joking, right? I think this industry's got to come together, it's got to collaborate, and it's got to love. And that is what we need. And you're seeing so many lawsuits of this and that and egos. The ego's got to be checked at the door. So, you know, that's my advice out there. And I'm seeing some really good things lately, guys. I've never seen more collaboration right now than ever. I'm talking to some leaders and I'm just calling them up. I'm getting out of my comfort zone because, to be honest, you know, the older I get, the more introverted I get. Honestly, I really do. And I was on a call yesterday with the president of a company and just collaborating. Hey, what are you guys doing about this? Hey, what are you guys doing about that? That didn't happen. That didn't happen 2 or 3 years ago when you were on social media. It was about, look at us, how big we are. Look what we've done. And we've just got to get real. This industry's got to come together and collaborate. So that's a long-winded answer, but hopefully I that kind of got to your question there.
No, it, Paul, go ahead. You
know, I love checking the ego at the door because that's the key to all of this. Because again, we're so worried about our image rather than worried about relationship. And that's the difference maker. Your ego stands between you and a relationship. And relationships are the stuff of life, even in business, that just becomes so rich. It not just makes it tolerable, it makes you succeed. Because at the end of the day, every sale is a relationship. Every decision is based on a relationship. And I love the idea. Just check your ego. You're not going to lose anything. You're going to gain everything.
Absolutely.
You know, that radical principle, David, as we're coming to a close and in our time, I mean, it flew. Usually I say, you know, you're off the hot seat, but I think I'm off the hot seat with you.
Right.
Well, again, right? I mean, my piece of paper is gone. I didn't know where I was going to go with it, but it's awesome. I loved this interview, but I will tell you that, you know, why I wanted to ask you about the radical side of it is because I honestly believe in the way that you just define what radical really is, right? When you blend, so on a personal level, yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you're a believer. Yes, you talk to the Lord. You're bringing that into the vocational world where a lot of people hide it. I mean, they put it under a rock. They do not even touch it. People don't know that side of them. And yet you're out there and you're not overbearing about it. And so if you think about it, it takes a radical leader to bring their own beliefs and follow it from a personal level in business and in their personal life, right? So it's consistent. And when you just described it and you said, you know, you said everything like, hey, you say, you don't have to say everything, right? I mean, a radical person, if all of a sudden you come in there and you're just spouting out everything and they don't even know, and all of a sudden you're drilling them down, you're going to hell, you're going this, you're going that. I mean, all of a sudden you're just pinpointing that is what people think radical is. No.
Right.
And the way that you just defined it, radical is when you don't say everything, right? You don't have to say anything, especially if you're respecting, loving, and honest, truthful, relational, right? When you have that, people can't help but just stop and say, David, what's different? And then it opens the door, right? Not necessarily to then jump on them. But again, I think you just said it, and you said it throughout the theme of this whole show, which is really, you just loved on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the way you sum that up. And the only thing I would say is, you know, so just imagine if we said our core values were transparent, but then I was a believer and I didn't let people know, like, is that transparent, right? Like, how do you do that? So, listen, I mean, maybe it's a turnoff to some, and that's fine, right? And that's just life. Like I said, so the old, I don't think I would have been this way, you know, 15 years ago, right? As you're trying to do things, but life changes us, right? And everything we learn and the things that we believe and the things that we read and, you know, the Lord above, you know, I believe he made me this way for a reason. Right. And so, you know, I am who I am. And I think the most important part is being respectful and mindful. And I think if we do that, it, you know, just in an industry and in a country and a world, we need more of that, you know?
Yep. We really do. What a great way to end this segment. This episode. And David, I can't say enough. You're a new friend, but definitely a new brother, right?
I
love being able to say that. And just really, there are so many people that need to hear that. In our industry, very specifically, need to hear the word. And so hopefully this is an encouragement. But David, I can't thank you enough. Paul, any parting words for David?
This was our conversation on day one when we talked to David, and now you can see why we're just crazy about this guy. David, I mean, we were friends from within the first 5 minutes. One of the things that we talk about, sometimes when you do business with people, you're a partner for a season, but what we love is we want to be friends for life.
Yeah.
And you're one of those that we just would pursue because you're just that rich. So thank you for just letting us in.
Yeah. Well said, guys. And I think the feeling is mutual for sure. I mean, you have those connections in life and you're like, wait a minute, this is a little different. I feel the same way. And, you know, I know you guys have worked with some of our teammates and members and they've really enjoyed it. So I appreciate you having me on and, you know, giving me a platform to, you know, hopefully maybe it helps one person out there. Right.
100%.
The one thing about being, you know, no ego and humble is we don't know it all. I don't know it all. And we can learn from each other. And that's really the essence of all of it. So I appreciate. And, you know, I'm looking forward to a Friday here in Kansas City at 69 degrees. So I'm pretty excited about today as well.
Yes. You just had to go there. All right. So that's a great place to end it because I want to play. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If you'll just hang out for a couple more minutes, I'm going to send you to the green room. Enjoy the virtual donuts and drinks there. Enjoy that. We're going to see you there, but we got to at least, you know, do the due diligence here and say goodbye to our group. But David, awesome. We're blessed to be blessed by you today. So thank you so much again, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Part of us.
Thank you, David.
Paul. Woo! What a show. I love that show.
Right? David's the kind of guy, I mean, you just want to go out with the guy, you know, go out for lunch, go out for dinner, breakfast, and you just hang and you talk and you just walk away full, you know, your soul is filled. That's just the kind of person David is. And I knew it was going to be like this. And I hate that it's over, at least on a podcast.
I me too. And I didn't ask him, but I'm going to ask him in that virtual green room that we have. I'm going to ask him if he'll be a guest in our show again in about a quarter or so.
I hope so. I sure hope so.
You know, but you know what? I'm not even going to recap this whole thing because the whole thing was a recap. And the way that people should walk. And today's podcast obviously was about the spiritual and balance with vocational life and your well-being. I hope that when you were watching the show today, that you did walk away with some nuggets in the business world. But in the personal world, especially when it comes to spirituality, find that center, find that. And if you're a believer and watching this show and you feel like you haven't been out there, David said it all. And the one word that I pulled out of this whole show is really love, right? And so being February, what a perfect month to be talking about that, Paul. Please follow us on our podcast and just never miss a single episode, because it's people like this that make a difference. Paul and I just get to be good stewards of that. So, Paul, any parting words? And then we're going to go ahead and shut it down.
No, like you said, boy, this is great. Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye.